SRN Survival Radio Network.
Yeah. Ooh.
Monique A.J. Smith, where Sniffing the Blooms here on Survival Radio Network. The SRN Biz of the Week helped the Survival Radio Network as we join the fight against breast cancer. During the month of October, we will be raising monies to help bring awareness and support about the horrendous disease. 100% of the monies we'll raise will go to I Will Survive Incorporated, a nonprofit. Donate today by going to our website, www.survivalradionetwork.us. Again, that's www.survivalradionetwork.us. And look for the pink SRN banner. Help us help others. The Title IX Conference and Classic 7th National Title IX Holiday Invitational Conference is around the corner. This year, we will tip off with a luncheon at the Washington Hilton, December 27th, with competition the next day, the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th. That's 48 girls' basketball teams, 6 brackets, 4 courts, 3 days at one location. For more information, log on to www.title9classic.com. Again, that's www.title9classic.com, and 9 is a Roman numeral 9. We need your vote for one of our sponsors, author Andrea T. Harris. She's up for the 2015 Christian Literature Reader's Choice Award. Voting is now. To vote, go to ChristianLiteracyAwards.com. Again, that's ChristianLiteracyAwards.com. Help those to help us to be on this platform. Show the value of the garden. There are advantages to being a listener at Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. We have book giveaways. We have professional development registration scholarships. Invitations to Chat in the Garden connecting events near you. And the latest on the docket, 2 nights, 3 days, leadership retreats in Virginia Beach. 2 separate opportunities, December 13th and 15th, and December 17th and 19th. So go to www.seasonofempowerment.info to hold your spot. Topics, resiliency training, contract negotiations, emotional intelligence. So lead your ship to Virginia Beach by registering at www.seasonofempowerment.info. December 17th and 19th are almost full, so get your deposit in now to hold your spot. It is crucial today to develop a new paradigm when it comes to navigating your career. Our next guest and I share the same mentor, Alfreda Goff. And so I do feel somewhat connected to this young lady, although we don't talk maybe once or twice a year. I have witnessed her make some queen chess moves, and I thought it'd be really good to share with our listeners some of those strategic moves she has made as a queen, because the queen is the only person, or the only piece, rather, on the chessboard that can move horizontally and vertically. So let's talk to one who's made some strategic moves that have led her to be the associate athletic director at an SWA at Hamilton College, Angel Mason. Welcome to the garden, Angel.
Hi.
You hear your cheers?
I do. Those are awesome.
I'm so glad you feel that way. It's really great to have you on the show this morning.
I'm glad to be here.
So what we'll try to do is just jump right on in and let's share with our listeners your career path from college to your current position.
Went to undergrad at Butler University in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I was a women's basketball student athlete. From there, I went overseas and played professionally in Iceland and a short stint in Madrid, and then came back to the States for the summer and had to make a decision to find a job or go back overseas. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to our shared mentor, Miss Alfreda Goff, who helped me with applying for NCAA Division III internship grant, which I was able to get a position at Vassar College. So I started my career there as operations manager and assistant women's basketball coach. Went from there to a conference office while finishing my master's degree. And then from there, actually back to Vassar as the head women's basketball coach there and assistant athletic director, and then went back to my alma mater to coach under my previous head coach, Beth Kuchar, there, and stayed there until I went home to Chicago for a couple of years, and then jumped back into intercollegiate athletics at Caltech in Pasadena, California, and moved from there to here now at Hamilton College as the Associate AD in SWA here.
Now, when you said a conference office, what conference office was that?
What conference office was that? Now, have they changed their name? No, I don't think so. So that was in New Jersey and Lord, what is the name of that conference office? With Brenda Weir. Why can't I remember it right now?
Oh, yes. Brenda, uh-huh.
Yeah, well, Brenda Weir was my supervisor there, and shortly after that, regretfully, she had passed away.
So wasn't that in Texas?
No, it's in Somerset, New Jersey. I believe I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay. So now you said you did a little bit of high school and then came back to collegiate.
Yes. So I went home to Chicago for personal reasons, family reasons, and while I was there, I was trying my hardest to not have to leave sport in general.
Mm-hmm.
And had an opportunity to go to a high school there on the North Shore, Deerfield High School, and there I served as assistant athletic director and oversaw all of our championships, NCAA compliance stuff, worked with the college career center there to help prepare student athletes for the transition, recruiting process, applications, so on and so forth, those type of things while at the high school.
So was that your first endeavor with administration at the high school level?
Yes, that was my first and only, and it's very different than the collegiate level. In that at the high school level, in the high school that I was at, I'd had a lot more interaction with parents and than I had ever had before on a daily basis, basically, from everything from trying out for the different teams, where they're placed between the four levels for some of the sports, to their understanding of the clearinghouse, the different divisions, the difference between NCAA and NIAA and junior colleges. And so it was very different interaction with the student athletes, of course, but a lot more interaction with parents than I'd ever had before outside of, you know, basic recruiting of women's basketball players.
So previously you had more coaching and playing experience, but the high school gave you that first taste of administration. Am I right with that thought process?
Well, it gave me more administration solo. everything before was combined. So I got to still do my coaching, wear majority of the time my basketball hat, and wore my administration hat when I had to. When I was at Vassar, I served in administrative capacity for operations and more internal things. Predominantly in the area of compliance, championships, event management, things like that. So I didn't have to do very much interacting with constituencies outside of the campus. So that kind of made the transition when going to the high school, because I, you know, had to do fundraising to get a turf field and dealing with the alums and the board there at the district office. And then you also have to deal with the other high school that you don't even work at because they're a part of the same district.
That's some good opportunities right there to really develop some skills that you that can carry a little further. So after the high school administrative experience, you went where?
I went back to college at Caltech in Pasadena, California, and was the assistant AD there. And I did, and the position there was actually created due to some NCAA violations that took place due to the setup of the college. Students there are able to get approved underloads due to the stringency of the academics there, and a lot of those students ended up being student athletes as well. And so the college was doing their own thing outside of the NCAA. So when the new athletic director came in, she kind of sorted through all of that, got it all cleaned up, cleared up, and dealt with the repercussions of that. But through that, she was able to actually create a position for an assistant, and that person primarily dealt with compliance, game management, operations. I oversaw sports medicine, worked closely in conjunction with sports information, so more of the internal operations stuff, but we also got to start a Hall of Honors there for the first time and really kind of put athletics back where she felt like it needed to be, and her ship continues to move in a positive direction there.
So is it California Tech?
Yes, California Institute of Technology.
And what division was that?
They're Division III as well. They're a STEM institution, so all of their students are science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Oh, wow. You got some great experiences there. So, and so how long have you been at your current institution?
This is the start of my second year here at Hamilton.
Okay, this is, you said your third?
Second.
Second. Okay. All right. And so now when you were at the high school, who was your supervisor, the principal?
My supervisor was a combination of the athletic director and the principal, because the athletic director also taught. So I went to him for things that kind of conjuncted with the College and Career Center and with the academic things, and to the principal for approval for all athletics-only focused things.
So it appears, based on what you're telling me, these different administrative roles that you've had, you were an intricate part of the success of your supervisors. Would I be correct with that?
That would be correct. I assist them in making the direction that they want the departments or the institutions to move in, yes.
So how do you do that? How do you help your supervisor be successful with your experience as being a student athlete, as being a Division I student athlete? How do you communicate and know when to communicate? How do you learn the rhythm of your supervisor to be more effective?
Yeah, I would say a lot of it in the very beginning is doing a lot of listening of my supervisor, so I actually have an idea of the direction that they want to go, and being able to take as many things as possible off of their plate so that they can focus on the bigger things that they need to have working with more constituency groups. And the more that I'm able to do that and listen more and make them feel more comfortable in building that relationship, it allows me to start with closed-door conversations where it never seems threatening. It never seems as if I'm trying to overstep bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And once that trust is built, every supervisor that I've had has been very accepting of having my input in an open group forum, rather it be conference meetings or, you know, in front of the board doing presentations and things of the sort. They feel confident in the areas that I cover and in assisting with the things that they cover.
That's outstanding. So what you're saying and what I wrote down is you need to build trust.
Yes. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, your supervisor has somebody that they have to report to as well.
Right.
And you want to be helpful and do your job well, but you never really want to make people feel like you're trying to do their job as well.
Right.
You know, and so if I'm supporting them in their mission and in the direction that they're trying to have the department go, and they feel like I'm an ally of theirs,
mm-hmm.
then we're able to move things together. You know, we're not going against the tide. We're moving together.
That was very well said. So what would you – let's talk about your ability to relocate. Would you think – would you say that your ability to relocate helped with your elevation professionally?
Yes. I would say me being able to relocate has helped with the pace in which I've been able to advance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's very possible for people to be able to do the things that I've been able to do and staying some one place or two places. But I do believe that me being able to relocate has given me an opportunity to try new things out, be able to go where the opportunities actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's made my advancement possibly quicker than others have been able to see it. But it definitely plays a role, because the fact of the matter is, especially in our field, you don't have a chance to move up unless someone else moves out.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what your career ambitions or goals are, that puts a timeline on it right there.
Hmm. Now, you are, I think, like the second person of my guests to have benefited from the NCAA Division III Strategic Internship Program. What are your thoughts about that program?
I think it's a great program. I know that, you know, I was with the Division III internship grant, and then they have, you know, the matching grant, and then they have the NCAA office grants. And I think all three of those programs are amazing. One, because one of the programs creates new positions automatically over the 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The other, the internship program, opens the door to bring somebody into the field, as
mm-hmm.
well as possibly have senior administration of an institution find value in that and either continue to apply for the internship or build the position
mm-hmm.
into the budget over the next few years. So it gives that opportunity. It does require for the institutions to support the individual. I know I was supported with housing and with medical benefits, which is huge.
You know,
so it's has a much higher advantage than some other general internships that a college or university may have. So I think that they're amazing opportunities.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Now, let's talk about the fact that you are a former Division I student-athlete, and this internship was a Division III.
Yeah.
So how did you do any paradigm shifting in order to be an effective Division III administrator?
I don't think that I had as much of a shift as some of my peers who did it, only because I had some early experience with Division III student-athletes while I was still a student-athlete through the NCAA Leadership Conference, which is where I really learned about Division III and what the differences really were. Division III wasn't a part of my process as a prospective student athlete, so I didn't know very much about it. But I learned a great deal through that leadership conference and keeping in contact with people that were in my group. And as a member of, like, my campus's SAC, continued to reach out to them when there were NCAA themes for the year and so on. So that kind of helped me. As well, you know, my institute just happened to be one that really did put student before the athlete. You know, if we were traveling locally or if we were in tournaments locally, you know, we came back and went to classes during the day, or we took tests on the road proctored by our coaches or sometimes faculty members if, you know, we were doing an overnight someplace close. So it kind of still fits the fundamental philosophy of Division III, so it wasn't a huge change for me. And then when I started out in the internship program, I had people above me that had served in different capacities at Division I, II, or III. So that really helped me shift quickly at Vassar from coaches that had done it as well as administrators that had done it.
So since you have become a professional person in the business, you've only been on Division III level, am I correct?
For administration, but I've coached at the Division I level as well.
Okay. So do you think this is going to be your home, or do you – think that you would look at Division II and Division
I? I really think Division III is going to end up being my home.
Okay.
I can't ever say that there may not be an opportunity that fits my value system in a way that another division may be able to fulfill.
Okay.
It ends up being more of the institution and what the institution stands for and what they're allowing for the athletic department to uphold within their institutional mission. I find that a lot of the Division III's fit and match that for me. But I know that there are Division I's and Division II's out there that do as well. I just know less about them, and that would be a much bigger risk. But I think that I have great sponsors and great mentors that could help me through that process if I ever did decide to consider it. But I'm happy at Division III, and I really see myself staying here.
One last question before we take a break. Let's talk about what kind of, because you said something that made me think about coming back to this question. What is your thought process and when you can considering a opportunity? Because you said something about values. What can you talk us through some of your thought processing when considering some type of transition, stay or to go?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, when an opportunity is brought to me or I see something of interest, the first thing that I do is research the institution. And through researching the institution, I try as much as I can through the internet or anyone that I may know that has spent some time there or within that conference as to reporting lines of the athletic department, a general philosophy of senior administration, you know, are the contracts there annual contracts? Do you have the opportunity to be faculty there? Those type of things, do they really believe in administrators pretty much creating their own schedule, right? The business is long and hard years. It makes all the difference being someplace where you generally come in at 8 a.m., but every whenever needed, you can come in at 11 when you want to take care of some things during the morning because you know you're going to be there until 10 that night, those type of things. And I've had great opportunities to be able to get in contact with people that are living it. You know, on my way to Caltech, when I was considering that, Celia Slater, I was able to reach out to her, and she was able to connect me with the women's basketball coach there at Caltech to be able to ask some of those inside questions about before I even applied. Those are the type of things that I really look for. And then before I take the final leap, you know, I consult my family. They definitely have been huge supporters of mine, but they also helped me kind of work through it to try and see what are going to be the benefits, how does this lead into the long-term plan, and make sure that it's in the direction of what the plan is. And so they're always consulted. And then I do, I run things past my mentors. You know, before I made the move here, I had a very long conversation, or multiple, with Miss Alfreda Goff and with Sharon Beverly before making this move, you know, and it was just strategically, it was the right thing to do. Professionally, it was the smart direction to go because it continues on to the path of what I want. And then, to be honest, I'm here now working directly under one of my mentors that I worked for, was a part of a team that he administered when I was a student athlete at Butler. So we have a long-standing relationship where he's been able to watch me grow over the last 11 years within the field and personally. And so it just made sense. But I think until you have people in place like that that you can really reach to, it's more checking your value system, checking to see if the institution and the departments fit in line with that for you, and checking with your family if that's something that's important to you.
Wow. That's some great advice. And I did not know. I was going to reemphasize that having a network is key. So that's how I know you, because whenever I've ever seen you, you make sure I see that you're there. You tell me, you know, where you are. You got a great smile. And so you make sure that you're visible and that you ask questions to add to your pot so you can pull from it.
Yeah, that's very important to me, because this is not something that you do alone. Right.
Right.
If anyone's saying they're moving up the ladder all by themselves, they're lying to themselves and everyone around them.
Right.
You know, it takes a real network to be able to support you through the monotony of what this business is. And it's a great business, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very rewarding. But you can't do it by yourself, and you can never stop growing. And if you do either of those, your days are numbered.
Wow. So with that said, we're going to take a really short break here in Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith here on Survival Radio Network. And when we return, we're going to continue talking to Ms. Angel Mason.
Hi, this is Janice Dove Johnson, the Executive Director of the Sankofa Project, and I just wanted to invite you to join us in the nation's capital this December 27th through the 30th as we host 48 championship teams from across the country at our 7th annual National Title IX Conference and Classic. Follow us on Twitter at Title IX_DC for more information.
The administrators and staff of the Southwestern Athletic Conference congratulate SWAC Woman of the Year, Cassandra Riviera of Texas Southern University Women's Golf Team, and our 2015 NCAA Woman of the Year nominee. You are a wonderful representation of the student athletes here in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. On behalf of the senior women administrators and athletic directors, congratulations, Cassandra.
A season is expected to be different from what came before, and it is by its nature temporary. Life's journey provides seasons, and it is when we grow through them that we are changed in the process. Order your copy today on growingthrough.life, a Volume 1, Seasons of Life Changed in the Process by Andrea T. Harris.
parents of aspiring collegiate student athletes spend large sums of money on strength coaches, speed coaches, and position coaches. You need the eligibility coach to help you navigate the eligibility and recruiting processes so that your son or daughter can become certified to receive an athletic scholarship. Call us today at 919-408-7431 to schedule your complimentary consultation. 919-408-7431. Eligibility coach.
Hey, sports fans. Join me, your host, Natalie Hicks, for Speaking Sports from Her Perspective. We can be heard each and every Saturday and Sunday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., 8 p.m., and 2 a.m. We talk about it all from the Cedar Hill Longhorns to the University of Alabama Crimson Tide to the Cowboys, Mavericks, and so much more. That's Sports from Her Perspective, right here on the Big Game Christian Sports Network. That's bgcsports.net. Hope to see you there.
M&A Chronicles, stories of pitfall, passion, and purpose that result in payday, is a collaborative effort of six women who offer stories of faith, anger, restoration, fear, divine purpose, and breakthrough. Get ready to go deeper. Get ready to have new life breathe into your dreams and aspirations. Nothing is accidental and all things are working together for your life's purpose. If you are a mother, businesswoman, minister, entrepreneur, community leader, or change agent, you will find solace in these stories and hope for your journey to payday.
The SRN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chattanooga Garden with Sniffkins Bloom on Survival Radio Network. So I'm currently reading this book called Risk and Reward, Why Intelligent Leaps and Daring Choices Are the Best Career Moves You Can Make by Ann Creamer. I think my generation can be mentored from your generation, Angel, as it relates to risk. You've done a variety of things. You've coached, administration, and even in area administration, you've done several things, business operations, NCAA compliance. What do you do to stay relevant?
A lot of the things that I've done to stay relevant have been through my professional organizations, through connections with my mentors and allies, trying to make sure that I'm responsive in helping and assisting others, whether it be phone calls or emails. I'm at a weird stage now where I still feel like I have a lot to learn and am still leaning on my mentors and on professional development, but apparently I'm at a phase now where people are starting to come to me for some of the guidance that I was able to get. So I'm at a weird stage with that, but I think that that's a part of staying relevant as well, is being able to assist. One of my mentors always says, you know, each one reach one, so I'm trying to live that a little more now. In doing that, that helps with me staying relevant. And then I go to I go to national conventions and professional development opportunities, and I try very hard at those to be visible. You know, yep. And it's the same type of thing that we do on our own campuses. Mm-hmm. Once you're in administration, your student athletes don't know you if all you do is sit in the office. Right, the fun part of our job should be going out to practices and going out to contests and traveling and so on. So I try and do the same thing at conventions. I try and be visible. I try and communicate and network with people. I wouldn't say I'm the person that meets like 100 people at every convention, but I spend a solid amount of time with 10 people and feel like I build a relationship there that I can start to really nurture and move forward over the years. It's not something that happens overnight, but I think all of those relationships have been positive and have helped in me staying relevant in these past 10 years.
So how has social media add more value to that? And I don't call it networking, I call it connecting, because just like you said, you make sure you make quality connections when you go to these national conventions. Instead of saying, oh, like, just pass out your business card, you know, you make sure that you actually leave something somebody remember you by and want to even keep the business card.
Right. Yeah. So social media, and I have to say, I am not as huge on it as many. It's one of the things that I force myself to do because it is another platform that kind of puts you out there. It's a sticky one where you got to be careful about what you post, and whatever you post you have to be willing to stand by. And so I think that just goes back to what you want your brand to be, what you want people to connect with you. But it is, it does give you a larger reach. I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter. I use Instagram. I post lots of inspirational things. I post things about my sports here at Hamilton, but also kind of other people's things that I see when someone's made a great move or someone's team has just gotten over a huge hurdle or gotten a great win, all those type of things. I also connect with people that may not be anywhere near what I'm doing professionally or not connected to Division III institutions, because you never know who will be able to help you learn something or who will have an experience that might be able to help you grow. So it's not so much about where they are right now, but where both of you are trying to go.
So are you on any committees?
Currently, I serve on the awards committee for NACWA, and for the NCAA, I'm on the Technology User Group Committee, and I chair that committee. And so we've rolled out a couple of things thus far this year with some of the fillable PDF forms and things like that, assistance for the online NCAA compliance forms and so on. So our group does a lot of the trial and error of things before we roll them out.
So tell me some more about this technology group. What is that under, Division III, or is that over all three divisions?
So my area is it connects all three divisions, and we work more on things that is kind of out there along the lines of compliance more so. So a lot of the forms that we put out, the online forms that can be emailed out to student-athletes to do, try and work out through those bugs and those kinks. We've done fillable PDFs, things of that sort. And then when there are things for consideration as far as moving out, we're kind of the trial and error dummies for that.
I was gonna say the guinea pigs.
We're the guinea pig group to give it a whirl before it really gets launched out to everyone else to try and get those beginning bugs out of the way. And then obviously, the membership is never slow to let us know when something needs to be changed or updated.
Well, I'm gonna go to the left just a slight bit. I'm teaching this class, sports administration theory. And like I told my students, I said, you know, when you do something, it's theory. Nobody's going to actually say, we're doing this. So
right.
I want to just talk a little bit about the creative side of that committee that you're talking about. What is it? What's the best way for people? Because when you deal with innovation, there is opportunities for something to come out the box that's really, really rare. How do you make sure everybody's heard with these great ideas? Or not
well,
so great ideas.
Yeah, or not. Well, I would say a big part of it is having the conference calls and the listservs and people just throwing stuff into the pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the great part about the NCAA committees is you quickly feel comfortable with people just because you're all kind of in the trenches together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, you know, oh, I don't want to put this idea or somebody might take credit. It's so not that. It's so much more of just throwing all the ideas out there, having the opportunity to, you know, kind of give people the ability to vet the process out and what that would look like a little more. And then obviously as part of the end result, when we want to push something forward that gets passed through, the tech people at the NCAA are great at what they do. They are able to turn some things around pretty quickly in comparison to what you may be able to do on your own campuses.
Right.
Because they have all the tools. They've got the bodies to be able to do the work. You know, they have the different applications and software to push things through and be able to really, you know, demo it. And we do a lot of send out those questionnaires to the membership to get feedback, and that helps direct some of the thought process as well.
Now, when you all come down to which one you're going to move forward with, is that vote secret, or do everybody knows everybody's stance?
We know where everyone stands.
Okay.
We know where people stand. We know who really feels like it's a good direction to go in. And for the most part for us, to be honest, almost everything is moving forward. So you don't have very many people that are opposed to any idea because it's moving forward. It's attempting to make less work for the people doing the work on the actual campuses, helping to organize the work, the rollover of information, those type of things. So it's highly supported by the membership, and a lot of the ideas come from the membership. So when people are seeing their own ideas being brought to fruition and having consideration, then they're more supportive of almost anything that is a change in the right direction through their eyes.
So how has committee work improved your communication style on campus and your status on campus and in the conference that you belong with?
Well, I think it's helpful because it shows engagement outside of your individual bubble, right? It's doing work on a greater scale, and I personally feel that it's a commitment to the craft, and that's been good for me because I have a chance to work with and communicate with people at the NCAA level that are senior administrators there, and that helps quite a bit when I'm having to get ready to go into meetings or have conversations or trying to prep for things. I have some people that I'm able to kind of call and run something quick by or shoot an email to, or people that I know that have experiences like that. So it helps in having my network grow even more, but more than the network growing, the experiences of the people that I have access to growing to help me as I'm trying to navigate the waters on my own campus, when I'm speaking about even things as small as possible disciplinary actions for individual student-athletes and being able to have a conversation where I'm voicing it to people to hear the concerns for the student-athlete, but if you remove the athlete from that, would this be the same type of consequence for a student? And does that fall into the spirit of what we're saying we want to be as an institution, as a member of NCAA Division III?
Now, I'm most impressed with the fact that, again, I kind of remember when you were on the intern stage, and I've always said it's not about how long you've been on this earth. It's the experiences that you had on this earth that gains the wisdom, which gains the respect of others and gives you opportunities. And so me saying that, you seem to have such great experiences, but you also have that thirst for knowledge. How do you, where else do you go for knowledge beyond your network of people to ask questions?
A lot of it is professional development things. I do like to learn new things and new ways to approach things. I like to be challenged. Being challenged keeps me engaged, very much so. When I stop being challenged, that becomes an issue for me. So a lot of my time at places has given me the opportunity to grow and have more things on my plate. And mm-hmm. that was a big part of coming to Hamilton, the number of things that I would be able to grow and take on over the next, you know, however many years. But professional development opportunities are huge because, I mean, most recently I was just a part of the NCAA Leadership Institute in mm-hmm. the first year of 2 years this summer. And, I mean, you want to talk about a challenge.
mm-hmm.
You're thrown together with a group of individuals that you don't know over a week. You're put in small groups to don't want to give away much for anyone that may be interested in it, but it is a challenge on multiple levels. It will challenge you personally, professionally, and those are the type of things that I reach to a lot. And then I also like to reach to organizations outside of athletics altogether. Because at the end of the day, athletics is still a business, right? Though we fly under the umbrella of education. So I like being a part of and interacting with people that are outside of education, outside of athletics, that are in the professional STEM fields, entrepreneurs, things like that, because you get a different experience from them and you get to see it through a different lens. And so that's important for me. And always self-evaluating. You know, I'm one of those people that likes to self-evaluate. I like to have my time alone to really re-energize. You know, I don't gain energy from other people. I gain it from being by myself and being able to be introspective and gain some insight on decisions that I've made, choices that I should have done differently, things that went well and that I need to keep in the back of my mind to try and mimic and do again or in a different way.
You are phenomenal. I'm just the fact that you are in that generation and you recognize where you get your energy from and that you're introspective instead of getting your energy from, yay, girl, you got it going on. I mean, mind you, is whether who you look in the mirror and says, okay, you got to go on, okay, you need to check yourself. That's powerful. Knowing that is really going to take you a lot further than many of your other peers. Oh, yes. So what areas of supervision do you have at Hamilton?
At Hamilton, I serve as the SWA and on our senior staff here in the department. I also oversee a handful of our sports. My sports of oversight are the cross country, indoor and outdoor track and field, swim and dive, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's basketball, softball and baseball, and then rowing. Are the teams that I oversee of our 29 sports teams that we have here. I also oversee all of our compliance, eligibility, anything dealing with prospective student-athletes. I handle disciplinary action within our department, but also in connection with the college. So I sit on a committee that we actually call Maxient Committee, and it's the way that our reports come out about issues, disciplinary actions, any type of reports that come through the campus. I'm on the Title IX Committee here on the campus, and I oversee our department's engagement and leadership committees for opportunities on and off campus and things for our student-athletes and a leadership program that we'll be rolling out for our student-athletes in the fall. And then I am on the Institutions Transition Committee, which we basically have people from all throughout the college that put their heads together to roll out our freshman program, right? It's everything from their overnight programs off campus to who are the people that we need to have come and speak here, from, you know, housing to campus safety, parent programming while they're here for the first 3 days, those type of things. And then I'm on our campus's trans advocacy team. And so we kind of put together proposals, information on ways to support transgender, trans-astric student-athletes, students, faculty, staff, to make our campus more inclusive. So those are some of the things within the campus and within our department that I work on and work with as a member of the faculty and as a member of our department.
You're quite busy.
Yeah, I stay pretty busy, but that's a good thing for me. You know, I stay quite busy, but it's all in a good way, and you really get to see the benefits of it play out, especially when you get, you know, good emails from students. I love the opportunity to be engaged with the general population of our campus, rather it's through my physical education classes that I teach or through any of these committee works.
So where is Hamilton located?
We are in upstate New York. It's in Clinton, New York, not in Hamilton, New York, where Colgate is. But we are about 45 minutes from Syracuse and about 90 minutes from Albany. We're right in between the two, right off of the I-90.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what has been your greatest accomplishment, and what is your current challenge that you're faced with?
Oh, greatest accomplishment. I would say right now my greatest accomplishment is being in that transition phase where I'm starting to be a mentor to my old student-athletes, watching them coming to the field. I've got a couple that are coaching. I have one that is an intern considering the administrative track while going to grad school. So I think that's been my greatest accomplishment thus far, is being able to serve as a mentor and try and get more young women, more ex-student-athletes into the field. So that, I'd say that's been my greatest accomplishment thus far. And challenge, current challenges, I guess it's really getting the practical experience and really trying to prepare myself professionally for what's next as far as my own personal goals. I think that's the greatest challenge right now. I don't want to be one of those people that has to always speak about transferable qualities. I want to be able to have had my hands right in there and say that I have those hands-on experiences and feel comfortable and confident in that. So I would say that's going to be the greatest challenge right now. It's preparing for next steps.
So what are those hands-on experiences that you feel like you want to try to get in the know of?
I think it's going to be a lot more of the budget, human resources aspects of things, the type of things that truly normally do live with the head of the department. But I'm in a place where I have somebody that has no reservations about teaching me those things and how they function here, but also giving me a larger scale picture with his past experiences at different places and how it works. Simple example on, you know, a budget, right? Schools work everywhere from a zero-based budget to a just don't be crazy. You know, it just depends on where you're at, the funding for your department or what you're having to fundraise yourself. So I think those type of things are really important, being able to get sufficient years with oversight of sports teams, having the ability to get involved with some of the fundraising aspects and dealing with other constituency groups. But I feel like those things are definitely available to me. I mean, it's only the start of my second year, and I know multiple board members by face and name, and more importantly, they know me because we've had opportunities to work together as part of the athletics task force that they started, and that has already garnered new facilities, AstroTurf for field hockey, another turf field and a grass field. And, you know, we've also gotten new brand new locker rooms out of that, and working to have other projects come behind it. But to be able to sit and have conversations with those people, or when there's board meetings on campus and having those folks stop by and grab a coffee together, those type of constituency groups, and having the practice of speaking with them, talking their language, remembering mm-hmm. that they're a volunteer organization of highly accomplished individuals, but outside of athletics. So you need to be able to educate them on what your world is while respecting their position. So I think those type of things, having more experiences with those, are going to prepare me for next steps.
Well, like I said previously, when I was talking about your experience being on a committee that is so moving, when you're talking about innovation and how you respect other people's ideas, will help you in all three of those areas that you are seeking opportunities in, especially when it comes to human resources. To allow people to be heard, and then mm-hmm. to also be able to put down your ideas as well. That's one of the things in human resources, people feel like they don't have a place to be heard. And then they're also, what the lay of the land is, hasn't been communicated. So
right.
your experiences that you have are going to lend itself to make that transition or to gain those opportunities much easier than if not. Now, currently, do you have any staff that report to you yet?
Yes, I do. I have 10 coaches that report to me, as well as sports information that reports to me. And we're right now with sports information working through a website redesign, moving over to Presto Sports. So we get to have some big tasks that we're taking on there. So they report directly to me. And then we started a program for basically development for our assistant coaches, which I oversee that for all of our assistant coaches. And so we have different planning and presentation that I do for that. A lot of it is getting them to engage and understand what it is to be a part of not only a department, but a part of an institution, and building connections and a network outside of your head coach, you know, beginning to make connections on your own. And not leading or depending mm-hmm. on your head coach for that. So, you know, our first meeting this year was about positive presence. Our next one is going to be about them building their brand, what things are important. We have a networking session. We'll have a resume writing and interview preps where we'll bring in some faculty members from around campus that have volunteered for us through our faculty liaisons program, and then practice planning and preparation and things like that. So just to kind of prepare them for next level, since the majority of our assistant coaches have come to us with the goal of becoming head coaches.
Outstanding. Now, see, for a person who does programming for professional development and staff retreats, that really gets me going. And I would say continue to hone your thought leader skills, and the only reason I asked you to be on the show, I saw you on the panel, Amoa, and I was delighted how you presented your thoughts, and so I said, well, let me give another platform to share it nationally as well, and so congratulations to you, Angel, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me as well, Monique. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And as always, I'd like to thank Clark Garrison of Survival Radio Network for having me join the family and the brand definer, Nikki Curry, for identifying this great opportunity. Jennifer Lee Williams of North Carolina A&T joins us next Tuesday, 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. For updates on show guests and podcasts, follow us on Facebook's Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.
And forgetting to live the life. Let all the problems get them down till it makes you want.